All right, I would like for you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 17. John chapter 17. And once you find John 17, find verse number 12. John 17, verse 12. Last week on Wednesday night, we started a new series on the subject of biblical separation. And I answered the question last week, why separation? Why did God choose this thing called separation? This week we're going to talk about a thing called sanctification. Don't let that worry you. I know it sounds like a big scary word, but it's not really. John chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse number 12, if you will. John 17, 12. Would you stand with me real quick? Let's stand out of reverence to the Word of God. And I'm going to read five or six verses here. The Bible says in John 17, verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." We're going to talk about what's going on here in this passage of Scripture, and we're going to talk about that subject, sanctify or sanctification. And let's pray. Father, help me tonight. I certainly want to take something that some complicate, not you, but we do sometimes, and I pray that we'll simplify it this evening in such a way that we can all understand this subject of separation, the subject of sanctification. Bless us now with thy presence. Make my mind strong as I teach, and all of us strong in our hearing, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I gave you an illustration. I told you that when my daughter was younger, I wanted to teach her about the subject of cleanliness. Cleanliness in a variety of ways. Cleanliness in life. Cleanliness with her belongings and in her room. And the way I did it is I took some plates and I showed her a couple of plates. I had a very clean plate and then I had a dirty plate. Now on this plate, there is some ketchup, there's some mustard, and there's some horseradish, and it's all dried. And if you could smell it right now, you would not be attracted to this plate at all. When she was a little girl, I asked her, I said, "Charlotta, out of these two plates, the clean plate and this plate, which one would you want to use?" She very quickly said, "Daddy, I would want the clean plate." And I use that to explain to her that's how God thinks too. When God looks down, he's looking for a clean vessel so he can use that clean vessel. I didn't ask her, but I think I could have said, "Now, Charlotta, do you hate that dirty plate?" She would have said, "No, I don't hate that plate. But if I were going to use a plate, I'd want to use the clean plate." That, you know, if a Christian doesn't clean themselves up, it doesn't mean God hates them, but he's more apt to use the clean vessel. Last week, we talked about why God chose this thing of separation. Remember, separation's everywhere. It is everywhere. Everywhere you go, you see separation. There's up and down and hot and cold, and those things are separated. In your refrigerator, you practice separation. Now, you don't take all the food, open it up, and just throw it in the refrigerator altogether. It's separated, right? Most of you, in the drawer where you keep your silverware, there's some separation. The spoons are somewhere near the spoons, and the forks are somewhere near the forks, and the knives are somewhere near the knives, and the chainsaw is somewhere near the chainsaws, if you know you're not real good at making steak tender. But so we all, separation's everywhere. It's nothing new, and God wants to use those things that are clean. Now, in the passage of Scripture that we just read, Jesus is during his earthly ministry, and his earthly ministry is just about over. All that is left is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And before he dies, he goes to the Heavenly Father in his last few hours, and he makes a request. What we read is a part of his prayer. Right before going to heaven, he asked God if God would sanctify his people. Jesus looks out into the future. He sees me, he sees you, and he said, I would like all those people to be sanctified. What did he mean by sanctify them? Well, he's near the Garden of Gethsemane, and in the garden he'll pray so fervently that upon his brow you'll see great drops of blood and sweat mingled together. He's lived here with us, or with people, for 33 and a half years. He has seen life through the eyes of the human body, and he has seen the temptation that people faced. He's experienced corruption of all sorts. Religious corruption and personal corruption. He's watched Christians mingle with the world until you can't even tell them apart. He sees the people and he sees the needs of the people. Remember, he's about to die. He knows what the people of that generation faced and knew that we would face the same type things. So right before Jesus dies, he goes to the Heavenly Father and he prays that the people, his people, would be sanctified. He knows he's about to leave this earth, and that was one of his very last requests. And that must be pretty important. Now, I'm going to talk to you about this subject of sanctification because it's so closely associated with separation. Let me say, first of all, sanctification means set apart from all else. Our Lord is saying, Father, I pray that David Steed will be set apart from all else. I pray that Chris Edwards will be set apart from all else. I pray that Martha Clark would be separated or set apart from all else. Or Rick Young or Rachel McGirt or George Nofsinger. Jesus prayed for every one of you to be sanctified. Way back, he wanted you to learn about separation, and he hoped you would practice it. He hoped you would be sanctified or set apart from all else. He wanted that for every Christian. Let me tell you something real quickly. Under Jewish law, many things were sanctified. The tribe of Levi was sanctified. One of 12 tribes were set apart from the others. Hey, one family in the tribe of Levi was sanctified. One family was the priest's family. They were set apart. You'll find out in Leviticus chapter 8, verse number 30, it says that Aaron and his sons were sanctified for the priesthood. So one out of 12 tribes were set apart. One family in the one tribe was set apart. Hey, there was a certain tent chosen out of all the tents in the Old Testament that was to be a sanctified tent. It was called the tabernacle. There was an altar in the Old Testament that was sanctified. It was called the altar of incense. There was a certain table that was chosen out of all the tables to be a sanctified table. It was called the table that held the showbread. It was set apart. There was a certain candlestick, a lampstand, if you will, that was sanctified in the tabernacle. And it was set apart for use. Hey, there were a lot of candlesticks back then, but there was one that was in the tabernacle that was set apart. It was different. There were bulls in that tabernacle that were set apart. There were bullocks, animals, that were set apart. There were lambs that were set apart. There were oils that were set apart. There were doves and dishes and silverware that were unique and special and set apart. Hey, a certain day was sanctified to be used of God. It was the Sabbath back then. It's the Sunday of today. There was a certain tithe or tenth or a portion of money that was set apart or sanctified. There were seasons that were considered unique or set apart seasons. The season of the Passover was set apart. The season of Pentecost was set apart. The season of a feast was set apart. Now, let me see if I can explain this to you. This right here, this is my chair, okay? That's my chair. It was purchased down at Pier 1 here in New Bern. Don't go in there, men. It'll cost you money. That's my chair. That chair was purchased at Pier 1. It was made by the Mason Chair Company. Now, this chair is just like many other chairs that were produced by the Mason Chair Company. This chair was chosen to be set apart and placed in the Twin Rivers Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. Now, there are other chairs like this in hotels, doctor's offices, nightclubs, probably casinos, dance halls. But this chair, it's no different than those other chairs, except we wanted one of those chairs, and it was set apart from all the others and brought here to the church. We have taken this chair from hundreds of thousands of other chairs, and we have set it apart from the others. This chair, I hope, will never show up in a gay bar. It's set apart. This chair is sanctified. It's been set apart. God says to you and I want you sanctified too. That's what Jesus was praying all the way back there when he was getting ready. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He actually took the time and said, I'm worried about the people. I don't want them to be like everybody else in society. I want them to be different. He called it sanctification, being set apart. Hey, this pulpit is set apart. These microphones are set apart. These are not in a liberal church. They're not in a movie theater. They're set apart. They're at God's house. Those chairs in which you sit, they're set apart. This carpet is set apart. These lights are set apart. That PA back there is set apart. And that's what God wants for His people. God doesn't want His people mixing and mingling and being exactly like the world. We're to be different. And you say, well, I don't like that. You'll have to talk to God about it. He's the one that came up with this thing of our being sanctified, and Jesus was so concerned about it. After having lived for 33 and a half years down here, right before he died, he said, Lord, before I leave, I just need to ask, please help my people to accept the doctrine of separation. They've struggled with it all through the years. He knew what he was praying. He knew what he was doing. Listen, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. You may say, well, preacher, you're just narrow-minded. The Bible's far more narrow-minded than I am. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James chapter 4, verse number 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And when I talk about separation, you say, you're rough on that. Boy, God is rough on that. God means what He says. Isaiah 43, verse 21, it says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. God didn't create you for you. God created you for Him. 2 Corinthians 6:17, the first part of it says, come out from among them. He said later on in that verse, touch not the unclean thing. 2 Peter 2:7 says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. John 17:14, he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In John 15, verse 19, he said, I have chosen you out of the world. That chair is sanctified. God saved you, and then He prayed that you would accept the doctrine of separation, which is a part of what sanctification is all about. Folks, I can't tell you how many people get saved and will not have anything to do with sanctification. They say, I'll take a Savior, but him mingling or messing with my life, you might as well forget it. I hope you're not that way. Now, I'm glad for the people that take the Savior. But there are some that say, I will have nothing to do with separation. I'm very sorry, but he prayed that you'd get saved and then that you would separate from the things of the world so that you would be a glory to him. I like the song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You know what? I'm going to be taken off out of this world someday. The process of sanctification, once it finally gets in God's court, is going to be quite thorough. When you get to heaven, if you don't like separation, you're going to be miserable there. You won't be able to do anything worldly. You will wear what you're told, listen to what you're told. You will do what you're told. If you don't like separation, you're going to wish you'd gone to the other place. You see, that song, "This World Is Not My Home," it goes on. It says, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I get uncomfortable with this world because of separation and the process of sanctification. I get tired of it. They think we're weird. If you're doing what God said, you're normal. They're weird. Far too much of the world has come into the church, and far too much of the church has gone into the world. Your eyes were made to see good, not bad. Your hands were made to touch good, not bad. Your feet were made to go to good places, not bad places. Your mind was made to think good things, not bad things. Your tongue was made to speak good things, not bad things. Ladies, you were created to cook good food, not bad food. This is in the Bible. God teaches this. And Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Which means this, your separation should be biblically based. You do what God said. It's not your preference. It's not society's preference. It's what God says. He said sanctification does not come from society's standard, but it comes from the truth of the word of God. So when we separate from something, we separate from it because of what the Bible teaches. The contemporary Hollywood Christianity is far removed from what God had in mind when it comes down to sanctification. They're trying to be like the world. Someone said to me, you know, if you just lighten up and be a little bit more like the world, more people would come. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. If nobody came, but we were trying to do what the Bible said, we're here to please God, not the world. See, if you are a worldly Christian, you're not answering the prayer of Jesus where he prayed, sanctify them. So, sanctification is, it means set apart from all else. There's a few of these chairs here at our church. There are multiplied thousands and thousands of them elsewhere. But we have some sanctified chairs. They're set apart. But wait a minute. There is another part of this doctrine, if you will, called sanctification. It's not only set apart, but it means set apart to serve. So when you're defining what sanctification is, it means set apart from others, but set apart to serve. This chair was constructed and built by the Mason Chair Company. But if I take this chair and I do that with it, I have now taken my chair from its purpose. See, this chair, it has a purpose. It was set apart from all the others for a purpose. It was set apart to serve. In this capacity, gave me a place to sit. But you know what? When that chair is turned upside down like that, I can't sit in it. Oh, now this chair right here, this chair, it is not in a nightclub. And that's wonderful. But this chair is not doing what it's supposed to do because I can't sit in it. It is taken away by what happened. We've taken away its ability to serve.
It's not doing bad, but it's not getting good done because it's not available to me. My chair could say, I'm a good chair. I live down at the church. I'm sorry, chair, you are not just created to live down at the church. Chair was meant for someone to sit in it. He could say, I'm a good chair. I'm not at a tavern or a bar. Well, I'm glad you're not in a tavern or bar, and word will get around that I'm talking to chairs. He says, I'm a good chair. I'm not in a tavern. Well, I'm glad you're not in a tavern. I'm glad you're at the church. But you weren't made just not to be at a tavern. You were not made just not to be somewhere else, but you were made to be set apart and to be used for a purpose. The chair could say, I'm a good chair. I'm not in a nightclub. Well, I'm glad about that, chair. I don't want you in a nightclub. But you were not made just not to be in a nightclub. My chair was made for me to sit in it. Now, okay, so now my chair is doing what it was created to do. So it's fulfilling its purpose. God wants us set apart from the world, you and I, but we are not just set apart so we're not in the world. We're set apart for service. You remember the plate? God wants to use us. He said you need, the clean plate has the nasty stuff was taken off of it. It was separated from the filth to make it usable. We're not just to refrain from evil. We're to add to our lives the practice of good. You remember the tent, the tabernacle? That tent was set apart from the other tents, but it was set apart for a purpose, the purpose of worship. Wonder if they had the tabernacle and they had a tabernacle storage kit, and they took that tabernacle away from all the other tents, so it was set apart, but they never set it up. You say, what's the use of a tent that's not set up? I would agree. I would agree with that. You see, that bowl or laver that was set apart from the other bowls in the tabernacle, it was set apart for the priest to wash his hands in. Now, if the priest didn't get to wash his hands in the bowl, it was set apart, but it wasn't fulfilling its purpose. Sanctification is being set apart to be used, set apart for a purpose. The golden candlestick was not set apart just so it was separate. It was set apart to be used. The table of showbread was not separated from the other tables for no reason. It was set apart so the bread for the priest was on it. The altar of incense was set apart in a holy place. But it was not there just to look pretty. It was set apart so the incense would be burnt and it would send a sweet smell or savor toward heaven. And Jesus prayed before he went to heaven. He said, I would like to see my people set apart so they can serve. So he asks us to be set apart to be used. He said, sanctify them. My chair, it was taken from the Mason Chair Company, so it was set apart. I sat in it, and I'm fulfilling the purpose for my chair. It's usable, but we're not finished yet. Sanctification is really three parts. Set apart from all else, set apart to serve, and then thirdly, sanctification means to get together with others who are sanctified. To get together with others who are sanctified. You know, the way my chair can fulfill its purpose, hey, you have a chair. Do you know what? Brother Edward's chair and my chair, they hang around with each other. Yeah. My sanctified chair doesn't go running around with its old buddies down at the bar and sit near a bar stool on Friday night. No. My chair hangs around with Brother Edward's chair. You see, sanctification means to be set apart from all else, set apart for service, but set apart, and then it finds itself with others that are set apart. See, that chair and that chair, they're fulfilling a purpose together.
Hey, I think that's why you need to be the member of a good old-fashioned New Testament Baptist church, because you're going to be around people that are what they're supposed to be. Folks, you're to run with the right crowd. Now, we love the lost. We want to reach the lost, but we're not to behave like them. We're Christians. Do you understand what the word Christian means? Christ-like. Now, I'm going to promise you something. If Jesus were alive today, people would say, man, he is different. You say, how do you know that? Just look at what the Bible says we're supposed to live. He is the Word of God. People call us peculiar. They call us other things too. But they call us peculiar. That's what they would think of Jesus if he were alive today. And I'm going to promise you, Jesus would spend his time with the right kind of people. You should run with the right crowd. Why? Because Jesus said, sanctify them. And remember, he had lived for 33 and a half years on this earth, looking at the world through the eyes of a human being. And right before he died, he went to God and he prayed. And he said, God, I'll tell you what, that my people, they're like the world is like them, sanctify them. Help them to accept the fact that they're not to be like everybody else, but they're to be like me. And folks, when you don't want to practice separation, you're rebelling about being conformed to his image. Because our sanctification process and commands come from the Bible. Jesus is the Word of God. When you reject what the Bible says about something, you're rejecting becoming like him. Jesus said, sanctify them. Get them out of the world. Get them into God's service with others that are doing the same thing. Folks, God has a purpose for your life. And it's more than just to quit something. I've been teaching this for years. Separation, and we'll have a whole lesson on this on some Wednesday night. Separation is not just from something. Separation is from something to something. I leave the bad and go to the good. That's a major part of separation. So God has a purpose of our life. It's more than just quitting some things. Hey, quit your bad. But wait a minute. Quit the bad and start the good. Then get around others that are quitting the bad and starting the good. And you'll succeed at separation. The reason a lot of people do not succeed at separation, they may quit the bad, but they never start the good, which is phase two. Or they may quit the bad and continue to spend time with other people who are doing bad. Sanctification's three steps. Set apart, serving, and spending time with others who are seeking the process of sanctification. And people fail at separation all the time because they say, okay, wonder if I stop the bad. It doesn't stop there. You must start the good, and you've got to get away from the people that pull you down, that pull you away from the sanctification process. So, quit the bad, start the good, run with people that are behaving the same. Look, stop cussing. Stop being filthy with your mouth. Start talking right. You stop the bad, you start the good. Wouldn't hurt you to use some Bible words. Stop using Jesus Christ's name as a cuss word. You start using his name right. But I'm going to tell you something. You spend all your time with people that have a sewer mouth, you will not get yourself cleaned up. It's real easy. Hey, if you're around cussers, it's real easy to cuss. Hey, let me take smoking. I think smoking's bad for you. I think you ought to stop it. But if you stop smoking, could I recommend you may want to do something in its place? Usually it's eating.
Oh, but let me warn you. If you stop the bad and then you get to running around with smokers, you will ruin yourself. You say, why? Because you'll smell someone else's smoke when you gave up smoking, and you'll be going, give me some. Bring it my way. Bring it my way. What? Why? You will have a hard time getting yourself cleaned up if you're running with people that aren't cleaned up. See, sanctification is being set apart to serve and then getting around people who are set apart to serve. My chair belongs with the other chairs here at the church. They have something in common. My chair, Brother Edwards' chair, one that Brother Steed or anybody that helps lead singing, these chairs have a purpose up here. They hang around each other. Hey, I'm going to promise you something. Our chairs are good for each other. His chair's not trying to talk my chair into going down to Joe's Tavern. His chair says to my chair, we'll just sit right here till church rolls around. We'll hold up the man of God while he's watching the song leader lead a song. We'll serve God's people right here. See, they work together. They help each other. Separated, serving people are happiest with other people that are separated, serving people. You get it? Separated, serving people are at ease and happiest when they're around separated and serving people. You say, well, I get around some people a lot. And I know, I realize you got to go to work and you're going to be around people. But I'm talking about in your casual time. I'm talking about with your free time. In my free time, I get around people and they're not separated and I'm comfortable with them. Then you're probably not separated. You're comfortable with what you are. Look, when I get around people that are not separated and they're cussing and they're doing everything else, I'm uncomfortable with that. But you know something? I like being around Chris Edwards. There's more than one reason. I'm better looking than him. It helps me. Yeah, but you make everybody feel that way. But look, when you get around people that are not in the process of sanctification, and that's where you want to be, you ought to feel uncomfortable. Separated serving people are happiest when they're with others doing the same. Separated serving people are more productive when they're with separated serving people. If you're separated and you want to stay that way, you're going to need to associate with separated people. That's just the way it is. That's how God planned it. That's why he said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. If you're serving God and you want to continue to serve him, you better associate with serving people. If you have a positive attitude about church and about your church and you want to keep that positive attitude, I'd associate with people that have a positive attitude. You get around people that have a bad attitude about church, you're going to end up with a bad attitude. This chair is with other chairs of its kind. Folks, that's one reason why I'm not ashamed to stand up here and tell people who we are and what we are in church. When people come to this church, they have to join what we are. We're not bringing them here for us to become like them. You say, well, what are we? We're to be like the Bible. You don't see me apologizing for the fact that it says Baptist on our sign. I'm not going to. You don't find me apologizing that we believe that salvation is by grace through faith and there's no other way and all the other ways are wrong, sinful, and will send someone to hell. I'm not going to apologize for that. I am to tell the truth about what the Bible says. And look, the people that, hey, you know something? There are some of you who say, Pastor, when you say stuff like that, that doesn't make me uncomfortable at all. Well, if you believe the Bible and I believe the Bible, why shouldn't we be comfortable around each other? Oh, but when you believe the Bible and somebody else doesn't believe the Bible, there's a lot of discomfort in that. So, we're a church that believes in separation from the world. Nobody here wonders about that. We believe in separation from the world. And listen, I'm not going to let you make me feel bad about the process of sanctification. Now, there might be times when you'll feel bad about not being there, but why should someone feel bad about separating the way God told them to separate? Now, I don't think you ought to be arrogant about it. I don't think you ought to be prideful about it. I don't think you ought to be cocky about it, but I think you better live it. And you ought not be ashamed of it. So, sanctification means set apart from all others with a purpose and available to serve, and then spending time with others who are set apart and with a desire to serve. So, that's one reason why I'm very honest with people when they come here. I've never apologized for the King James Bible, nor will I. I'm not going to apologize for that. You may get uncomfortable with that, but that's because you and I are not the same. But I'm sticking with the purity of the Word of God. So, listen. Sanctification, it's really that three-step process. And we're being sanctified so we're usable. When we're not trying to sanctify ourselves, we're leaving nasty stuff on the plate. You say, well, it's my life, and I'm going to do what I want with it. I thought that you belonged to Jesus. Now, if you say, well, I'm 100% sure it is my life and I can do what I want, then maybe you're telling me you're not saved. Because if you're not saved, then sure, go ahead and do what you want. But I'm saved. I'm a child of God. He owns me. I'm good with it. I don't have any problem with that. And my separation does not come from society. Hey, do you know that society has all sorts of separation in it? All sorts of separation. I mean, it is everywhere. For instance, when you came to church tonight, cars were going down separate sides of the road. And you prefer it that way. Matter of fact, if somebody on the road is not practicing separation with you, you think they're stupid, don't you? Makes you angry, doesn't it? Why do you think God feels? How do you think God feels when He puts separation in the Bible and you say, I'm not going to do it? You're willing to drive down a one-way road the wrong way and you think it's okay. Now, you believe in separation. You just pick your own. Matter of fact, you let society pick it. Why didn't you leave your salvation up to society? You said you can't trust them. They'll send me straight to hell. Well, let me tell you what they'll do to your Christianity. I can't wait. I got a whole lesson I'm going to teach on all the separation you practice. We are separated creatures. We just like to pick it our way. Yeah? Very separated. So, lesson number two, sanctification. Sanctification. Set apart to serve with others who are set apart to serve. That's what it means. It's a part of the subject of separation. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, I gave you many, many verses tonight about the subject. Two things. First of all, if you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you've never trusted Christ, and let me make it very clear, you don't work your way to heaven. You trust Jesus Christ and you accept the gift of heaven. You get born again, not through your works. You get born again through receiving Jesus Christ as a gift. If you've never been born again, we welcome you to the Savior. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Anyone like that? You say, I'm not born again. I'm not saved. All right. Then I will take it then that you're born again. I want to take it that all these people are saved. Let me ask you this question. Are you putting yourself through the process of sanctification? Are you cleaning up? Remember, set apart from all others, set apart to serve, and set apart to serve with others who are set apart to serve, who here tonight would say, "Preacher, I need to work some in this area. I need to work on the sanctification of my life. I want to be the clean plate. I want to be the usable plate." Would you put your hand up and let God see it? God bless you. Lots and lots of hands. We're going to have a brief altar call if you need to come. Hey, I really do believe, I think there we have so many young and new Christians in here. I think there are people that are going to learn some things that they never knew. Now, for some of you, say, "Oh, I've known this for years." Well, you don't practice it well enough. But I would tell you this. I think there are new Christians that are going to learn some things about this subject of separation that's going to really, really help them. This isn't something I dreamed up. God put it in the Bible a long, long time ago. If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come and use it. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Do you need to come and say, "Lord, I need to work on cleaning some things up a little bit more"? Don't let the word sanctification scare you. Don't let it become overwhelmingly religious to you. Just realize it's set apart to serve with other people that are set apart to serve. We clean up according to the Bible because we're more usable. He said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." He said, "Touch not the unclean thing." Set apart from all else, set apart to serve, and set apart to be with others that are set apart. Sanctification. I'm glad my chair is not in a bar room, but that's not it. It's not just being in the church. It's being usable in the church and spending time with other people that are usable in the church. It's a very dangerous thing when you have people in the church that have no desire to be separated, because you'll have people in the church that are trying to do right that'll get around the people that have no interest in doing right and influence them. Let me tell you something right now. If you don't want to be separated, you leave my people alone, and don't you mess with them, and don't you try to take them down the wrong path. I'm a shepherd that's supposed to protect his sheep. You teenagers, if you don't want to do right, don't you go around influencing the other teenagers to do wrong. If you're married and you're not satisfied with your mate, you stay away from everybody else's marriage. Don't you mess around like that. If you don't believe the Bible the way it's taught, don't be influencing people. You want to come to church and don't separate, that's fine. You can come. You're welcome to come. Don't you go around here trying to talk other people into not being separated. Matter of fact, we want you to come, even if you're not separated. But we didn't bring you, and we don't accept it so you can corrupt the people that are trying to live right. Biblical separation, lesson 2, sanctification. This is the last time through the song.